afterwards, stop by there. We got some chicken, we got some pork, and we got some beef taco stuff out there for you. We even got the nasty white stuff out there for you if you want any of that. You know, the food's so good, you don't need that, but if you still need it, you know, it's out there. But dads, we want to celebrate you and thank you for all you do. I want to thank all you that came out yesterday. Huge, huge help. And so I want to let you know how proud I am, everybody who served. I know wasn't as hot as it usually is, but it was still hot. Still a lot of people. We had probably around 2,000 people here on campus yesterday. So, yeah, it was incredible. We sold out of a lot of food. And so, again, that's only because you guys serve, you guys help, you guys want to bless our community. That's what yesterday was. So thank you, thank you, thank you for coming, being a part, giving of yourselves, giving your time. I want to thank a special couple came all the way from Iowa to serve, Chase and Beth back there, and Claire. Amen. If you've been around Brighton for long, you know, remember Chase and Beth and Claire. Chase actually led worship for us, and I want to thank him for coming. And he worked a lot yesterday. And so he's one of those guys that when they were here, we formed a really good relationship. He's one of those guys in my life I know I could call at any time, and he'd be here if I needed him. So thanks, Chase, for coming. Appreciate that very much. I'm trying to get all my thoughts together. I'm sorry. It's a little crazy. But it is Father's Day. All your dads, thank you. Thank you, thank you for all that you do. Thanks for being here. You know, dads, we say a lot. I think our families don't hear a lot of what we say. But I had a little video I want to show you today. These are things that dads, we would never say, but you're going to hear them for this time. So I want to show you a quick video here. Things dads would never say. See if you can relate to this.
Can we go to Target and, I don't know, like walk around and smell some candles?
You know what? This does smell totally different from the 37 other scented candles that we have. You should totally buy it. I know it's not on the list, but you should totally get it, along with this mini spatula.
I'm gonna trust the GPS and follow the exact directions. I know lots of shortcuts, but I'm sure this is the fastest route. Who am I to argue?
If my son's team won, that would be great, but you know what would be even better? If they came up just a little bit short, but learned a valuable lesson along the way. Because I care more about building character than my son winning. Character.
Well, I'm all packed, but you know what? I should pack for the kids too. Mommy always does that. Now it's my turn.
Oh my gosh, honey, great job packing for the road trip. Your spatial reasoning totally makes sense. I'm just gonna close this because I'm sure there's no last second bags you're gonna add.
You know what? You're right. We do need more decorative pillows. You don't sleep on them, you just throw them, and that's great. I don't really need to sleep on pillows. I just like to look at them. I don't care about functionality.
Well, would you look at that? You put the box straight into the recycling bin without breaking it down. Great thinking.
Hey, honey, there's a lot of packages here on the front porch. I'm not even gonna ask what it is. Whatever you ordered, you deserve it.
You know what? I just hope that both teams have fun.
Fantasy football is just that. It's fantasy. It's in the name. It's not real. Let's go have brunch.
Do you want to go on a walk and we can like hold hands and you can ask me where I see myself in 5 years and talk about all of our goals and dreams?
Absolutely, we should talk about our feelings, like our really deep, dark feelings and insecurities and vulnerabilities.
Hey guys, I am so glad you left all of the lights on because, you know, that way we can see at all times in all parts of the house.
I'm gonna place these shoes in these shoe cubbies that were specifically designed for shoe storage. Clothing and towels should go in a hamper.
Hey, honey, can we get takeout for dinner?
Ooh, you're making kale apple salad? Well, that sounds a lot better.
Honey, are you sure you have enough shoes? You should buy a few more pairs. I totally have enough blue shirts. I'm not buying any more blue shirts. Ever.
Okay, honey, I am ready, but you take all the time you want and try on as many outfits as you want. Okay, so you love the dress, but you don't like the shoes, but instead of just changing the shoes, you're gonna change the dress and the shoes and just start over? Well, that makes perfect sense.
Okay, I'll sit in the corner of the couch. This way everyone else has lots of room. You know what? I should put this in a bowl.
Good call, referee. That was totally fair. Duke gets no preferential treatment whatsoever.
What a great win for UNC. But I feel kind of bad ending Mike Krzyzewski's career twice. I sure hope he's okay. He's as charming as he is handsome. I'm not petty at all.
things dad would never say. So happy Father's Day to all your dads. I'm privileged to have my dad with us in service today. They came for the fireworks show and they stayed today. So it's a special day. So happy Father's Day to all you guys out there. And hey, just so you know, the food out there, even if you're not a father, what we say is 18 and over. If you're a guy, 18 and over, grab some food after service. So we just want to bless you. Hey, this morning, I didn't necessarily put together like a specific Father's Day message, but we've been in the book of 1 Samuel, and we're going to continue that because today we get to chapter 9, and chapter 9 really talks a lot about where we're going and where we're at. It actually applies to all of us, especially dads and fathers, because a lot of times as fathers, we feel like we're kind of stuck in the mundane, and we don't really... A lot of things don't make sense and it's a little confusing. And so today we see that in the book of 1 Samuel. And we're going to find out what happens after. Remember, at chapter 8, they're calling for a king, right? They're like, oh, we want a king. We want a king. Why do they want a king? To be like everybody else. Well, that's not a great answer, but that's what they want, right? They want to be like everybody else. And so finally, chapter 9, they're going to start on this journey of getting what they think they want, right? Let me start by asking you guys this. So how many of you ever heard someone say, everything happens for a reason, right? Come on, everybody. We probably said it ourselves. Well, everything happens for a reason. Probably more times than we count, we've heard that statement put out there. And every time somebody says that, I'm not sure what to think, right? Like, what do you think when somebody says, well, it happens for a reason? Okay, well, if everything happens for a reason, somebody's got to decide that reason, right? And so we as Christians, we know that everything happens for a reason because God has created all things, has a plan for all things, right? Well, that makes sense. And he's sovereign over all things. The scripture even says even a sparrow can't fall to the ground apart from him knowing. Ephesians 1 and 11 says that he's working all things out, not just some things, but all things out according to the counsel of his will. And so we know that he's involved in our life. And so what theologians call this is providence. And providence is one of those big, weighty words that we throw around a lot. We're like, okay, what in the world is providence? And that's what we're going to talk about this day is God's providence. And what that is God has a plan and a purpose. That's what it means, right? And the word providence actually comes from a Latin word, providentia, and it essentially means foresight or making provision beforehand, okay? So what that's talking about is that God's providence simply means the amazing way that God supervises all things for his people. And we're going to see that in the story today in 1 Samuel chapter 9. Because we need to understand this, God's providence. What is God's providence in our life? And we're going to see that played out in Samuel's story, in Saul's story. And we're getting back to chapter 9. And so in chapter 9, we can look at this story on two levels. Okay, on one level, big picture. Okay, big picture, God's preparing the way for the coming of Christ through the kings. Okay? And then in the whole line of kings, eventually Christ is going to be born from the lineage of David, and we see that, okay? That's a big picture. Smaller picture, smaller level, God's working in Saul's life in a very specific way. Even though Saul ultimately not God's man, God's going to give him every chance to make it right, but we'll see all that later. But this morning, we're going to look at Saul's calling, okay? And through this, we're going to learn some very important truths about how God works in our lives as well. Because a lot of times you and I think we're tempted as Christians to read scriptures and we get the highlight stories, right? We love the highlight stories. Like, we love the story of Moses and the Red Sea parting, right? I mean, that's awesome. Walking through, seeing the fish. I mean, that'd be cool. We love the stories of David and Goliath. I mean, that's awesome. We love the stories of Samson, you know, the donkey. And it's just awesome. We love the highlight stories, right? And we got kind of conditioned to, okay, we read those stories, and that's how we want God to move in our life. And when God doesn't move in our life that way, we get frustrated. Like we talked about Samuel's calling. God talked to him audibly, calling his name. How many of us have not prayed that prayer? I think that'd be easier to say, because all of us, like, God, speak to me audibly, right? In your situation right now in your own life, how are you asking God to move? Big ways, right? Because that's how we want to move. God, I need you to do this. God, I need you to perform this miracle. God, I need... And so we get conditioned to, we want God to do it like this. And for some reason, we think God only works in big, spectacular moments of our lives. But in 1 Samuel chapter 9, it's a wonderful demonstration that God's at work in the ordinary details of our lives. Some of you don't like to hear that this morning, because we want the, right? We want the big, massive. God's at work in the ordinary details of our lives. Let's dive in our passage. So in verses 1 to 14, it's setting up a scene of a very ordinary, frustrating day for Saul and his servant. So some donkeys have gone missing. So Saul's dad sends him out in a servant. How many would that be a frustrating day for you? Like, come on, we got servants. Can't the servants go find the donkeys? I mean, what if we got servants, can't we just buy a couple more donkeys? Kind of what I'd be thinking, right? But yet for Saul, it's like, okay, you know the frustration set in. I got to go look for donkeys. And so what's so important about donkeys? Well, the importance is what we start to see in the very beginning of this is how God is working in the most ordinary details of work, looking for a donkey, okay? And so I want to look at this morning, I want to point out in our story some ways that God is at work in your life. And the first one is this, is that God is at work in your family's background. Some of you like that, some of you don't like that. And so just to be aware, we have people watching the weather, and so if anything happens, we'll let you know. And so I know the flickering kind of freaks a lot of people out. That's just Brighton. Okay, that's not the weather. That's just Brighton. But if anything, the weather related, we have people watching it, and so we will let you know. So don't worry about that. But God's at work in some of your family background. Some of us don't want to recognize that. But look at our passage today. Saul's family background. Verses 1 and 2 says, there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abel, son of Zor, son of Bechor, son of Aphim, and Abijamite, a man of wealth. Okay, so right now, right off the bat, we know he's wealthy. Okay? Verse 2 says, he had a son whose name was Saul, handsome, young man. There is not a man among the people of Israel more handsome than he. From his shoulders upward, he was taller than any of the people. Okay, so again, Saul's father, Kish, was a man standing out in the community, right? He was wealthy. He came from a good family. It's clear that his wealthy family, they own donkeys, servants. He's an important person in the community. Saul is from the tribe of Benjamin. Benjamin, again, was one of the smallest tribes. It bordered Judah and was strategically located right between the northern and southern tribes. And so Saul's family background contributed to his physical presence. I mean, apparently he had tall dreams, right? I mean, you know, it's funny. We had two girls first. Our son came last. And I remember Melissa was stressed out. Like, every time we go for the doctor's checkup, you ever go to the doctor's checkup, and they give you the percentiles, right? They're this percentile weight, this percentile height. She zoned in on that height one. She's like, man, he's got to be taller than the girls. Got to be taller than the girls. Like, that was a big deal, right? And so luckily the genes came through on that one. He's definitely taller than the girls. But this is Saul, right? And so the family, you see his family contributions here. He's tall, came from his family. Not only that, I mean, it's an impressive appearance, right? And Saul was everything Israel wanted in a king. We see all the characteristics that Israel valued. And isn't it interesting? There's a little side note. This is not the sermon today, but look at the values Israelites valued. It was all surface, wasn't it? That should be really telling to us. And I won't get into that, but that's later down the road. But it's interesting. And so you see Saul's family impacted him. Your family's impacted you. It's part of your story. Some of you guys came from a great family. Some of you guys came from not a great family. But you're here today. God has placed you here today for a reason. Your family is part of your story. And again, what is our job? To tell our story. This is where I'm from. This is what happened. But I'm here today. And so God's placed you here. And it's not an accident. I know some of you are like, well, I don't like that. It's part of your story. And know that God's working all things out for your good. So the second thing, God's at work. God's at work at interruptions and setbacks in your life. Some of you guys are experiencing this morning some setbacks or some interruptions. I'm definitely experiencing a setback in my life right now. One of the most frustrating things to do in the busiest week of the year for us at Brighton is to have a bum foot. I did not plan that, but it's happened. So look at verses 3 and 4. It says, now the donkeys of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. So Kish said to Saul, his son, take one of the young men with you and arise and go look for the donkeys. I mean, poor Saul, right? He sent off on a fruitless mission to look for donkeys in the hill country. Who would want that job? Nobody. It was an interruption in his life. He didn't need that. He's like, what in the world am I doing? So he and his servant travels up and down. They can't find the donkeys. How many times do you face setbacks, interruptions in your life? How many times just this morning on the way to church do you face setbacks or interruptions? It happens so many times. But wouldn't it help to know that in those interruptions, in those setbacks, that God is at work? I mean, wouldn't that make a difference if we could just pump the brakes a little bit and say, hang on a second, I know this is an interruption in my life. I did not plan to have this foot issue right now. It's inconvenient. It's frustrating. But if I just take a breath and say, all right, God's at work. I don't know what it is. I can't see it. But that would help me. Okay, I'm not going through this for just any reason, but God has a plan. He's at work. He's not only at work in your family background, he's at work in interruptions and setbacks, but he's also at work in the people around you. Look at verses 5 through 10. It says, when they came to the land up, Saul said to his servant who was with him, come, let us go back, lest my father ceases to care about the donkeys and becomes anxious about us. Listen, we've been gone so long. Who cares about donkeys? Let's go back. Verse 6 said, the servant said to him, but there's a man of God in this city, and he is a man who's held in honor. All he says comes true, so now let us go there. Perhaps you could tell us why we should go, where we should go, the way we should go. Then Saul said to his servant, but if we go, what can we bring the man? For bread in our sack is gone. We have no present to bring to the man of God. What do we have? And the servant answered him. You know, by this point, Saul's probably getting a little upset. He just wants to go home. Can we just go home? No, there's a guy over here. Okay, well, it's cool. There's a guy out there. We don't have nothing to give him. The servant's like, well, hang on. He said, I've got a silver shekel. I'll give to the man of God. Saul's probably like, okay, all right, fine, whatever. You know, I don't want to go home. Verse 9 says, when the man went to inquire of God, he said, let us go to the seer, for today's prophet was formerly called a seer. And so Saul said to his servant, well said, come, let us go. And they went to the servant, to the city where the man was. So again, Saul was discouraged. He's searching. He's ready to go home. And this friend, his servant, had some money stashed away. Said, hey, I got a plan. Listen, God had a plan. There's some people put in your life for this exact reason that God's using. Some of you are like, hang on. God's not using any of my friends. No, I promise. God's using people he put in your life for a reason. He put them there, maybe to encourage you, maybe to point you in a certain direction. But I'm sure that he's using them, just like in the story of Saul. He's using them. Like, well, he can't use my friends. Listen, if he can use a donkey, yeah. Come on. That's just a little bit under some of your friends. But if he can use them, he can use your friends. Listen. So God's at work at people he's placed around you. The fourth thing is this. God is working the timing of the events in your life. We don't like this one either. Verses 11 to 14 says that they went up to a hill city. They met a young woman coming out to draw water and said to them, "Is a seer here?" They answered, "He is. Behold, he is just ahead of you. Hurry. He has come just now to the city because the people have sacrificed today on the high place. As soon as you enter the city, you will find him before he goes up to high place to eat. For the people will not eat till he comes, since they must bless the sacrifice. Afterwards, those who are all invited to will eat. Now go up, for you will meet him immediately." So they went up to the city, and they were entered in the city, and they saw Samuel coming towards them on his way up to high place. Look at this. I read that really fast, but look at it. They just happened to meet some young girl coming out to draw water at the exact same time. They asked this girl about the seer. She said, "Oh yeah, he just happened to come back to town just that day." So Saul and his servant has been out looking for donkeys for 3 days, and yet the timing is perfect. Because if they arrived a day earlier, Samuel wouldn't have been there. It'd have been too soon. If they arrived a day later, it'd been too late. They would have missed him. As it is, they're right on time to meet him. Not only that, but they were right on time for the special feast that they didn't know anything about, right? Listen, sometimes the timing in your life seems off. And if we're honest, I think all of us say a lot of the time, timing in our life seems off. Everything seems amiss. You feel like you're waiting forever for things to come together. But the only thing you need to know is that God is at work in your life, in the events of your life. Listen, our timing may be off. Your timing may be off. But God's timing's what? Perfect. So God's at work. I know we don't like that because our timing, we want now. Our timing is right this instant. God, move right now in this relationship. God, move right now in this job. God, move right now in this circumstance. Again, when he does it, we get frustrated. But again, it's God's providence. God's timing, always perfect. So much of our life seems like ordinary, just mundane events. But it's better knowing that God's at work, even in the ordinary, mundane events in your life. Just look at Saul looking for donkeys. You're not always going to see it. But just know the hand of God is guiding you. He's directing your steps. When we get frustrated in the ordinary details, we got to remember God's at work. Let's be honest. Sometimes we don't like God's providence and plan, do we? We think, well, God, I should go this way. You would agree with me, right? We try to sell God on our plans. Like, God, this job would be perfect for God, this relationship would be the envy of everybody. I need this in my life. And when that doesn't happen, we get frustrated. And so real quick, when we're talking about the providence of God, I want to point out a few things about God's providence. The first one is this. God's plan precedes your present circumstance. In other words, you never get into a jam and then God has to come up with a plan. It's like you don't get in a situation, you don't get in a conflict, you don't get in the, and God's like, oh my gosh, where'd that come from? It doesn't happen that way. His plan always precedes your circumstance. Look at verse 15. It says, "Now the day before Saul came, the Lord had revealed to Samuel." So Saul and his servant thought they were just looking for donkeys, but before they even got to town, God already revealed a will to Samuel. So you might wonder what you're doing in the present moment, how did I get here, where did I go next? It's not a surprise to God. Why? Because he's at work in your life. And that's good news that he's at work, because I promise you, God's plan is bigger than your plan. Saul wanted donkeys. That's all he wanted. donkeys. Kingship. That's your plan is a donkey. God's plan is kingship. I mean, you see the difference? That's why we got to trust his plan. In verse 16, where we learn that God revealed to Samuel the day before, God told Samuel he was sending a man to him to anoint king over Israel. Saul thought he's just out looking for donkeys. God had a bigger plan. Saul's servant thought he's just along for a ride. God had bigger plans. That servant girl that was going to draw water, God had a bigger plan. I'm telling you right now, no matter what mundane circumstances you're in right now, God has a bigger plan. If we trust in that. Listen, God's providence is not just for kings, it's for all of us. Proverbs 16:9 tells us the heart of man plans his ways. I love this. But the Lord establishes his steps. When it goes on, I'm going to read it a couple of chapters later. Proverbs 20:24 says this: a man's steps are from the Lord. How then can man understand his ways? This is perfect. A man's steps are from the Lord. We won't understand. Why? His thinking is higher than our thinking. And so when our plan makes sense to us, we should be worried. Oh man, I'm not following God on this one because it makes sense to me. I'm telling you, our thinking is down here, donkey level. God's king is think kingship level, right? And that's what we got to understand. In other words, how are we supposed to understand? We don't have the foresight that God has. God sees the whole picture. We see part of it. Of course we're not going to understand God's plan. Why? Because God's plan often differs from your plan. I'm sorry to tell you that. Saul comes to Samuel, asks about donkeys. Before Saul could say even another word, Samuel tells the donkeys, all right, they're found. They're on the way back home. You stay for a feast. In other words, it was never about the donkeys. God's plan was different than Saul's plan. Samuel tells Saul, in the morning, I will let you go and will tell you all that's in your heart. Although we're never told what's in Saul's heart, God knew it. God confirmed it through Samuel. God knows your plan too. He knows your heart. Some of it good, it lines up with God's plan. Some of it not so good, needs to be laid aside. But it's encouraging to know that God knows your heart. That even if his plans may ultimately be different than yours, he knows your heart. Saul's not quite ready for God's plan, you read on. He starts giving these excuses. Well, I'm from the tribe of Benjamin. We're the tiny tribe. And out of the tiny tribe, mine's the smallest. Like, I'm the runt of everybody. That's what he's saying. My portion of the Benjamin tribe, our family's like the runt of the Benjamin tribe. So we're even the smallest. So he's not ready for God's plan. Why? Because God's plan is often different from your plan. So sometimes it takes us a minute to catch up to what God's wanting to do in your lives. But thank the Lord it's different than our plans. Because God's plan is always better than your plan. Saul's given the seat of honor. Remember, Saul's plan? Donkeys. You read on in 22 to 24, Saul's given the seat of honor. He's frustrated, doing ordinary tasks, looking for a stupid donkey. Turns into he's given the seat of honor. He's got a special portion of meat laid aside just for him. The feast was actually in his honor. I don't know what God's plan for you is, but it's different than yours. I want the worship team to come back. I'm going to wrap up this morning. I'm not saying you're always going to get the seat of honor. You're not always going to get the best portion. You may not get a lot of things in this world that the world values, but I know this. God's plan for you is the best plan. If you're in Christ, God is at work in your life. God is at work in your life. And it often differs from yours. Listen, so much of our lives are just ordinary day-to-day events. They don't seem to hold a lot of special meaning. Sometimes we get distracted or discouraged by the interruptions, distractions, of frustrations, of setbacks. Sometimes you feel like you're walking in circles, getting nowhere. In other words, a lot of times life is, it feels like you're just looking for a bunch of donkeys. And Saul thought he's just out looking for a bunch of donkeys. But he was part of something so much bigger. He's looking for donkeys. God's building the kingdom. He's looking for donkeys. God's getting ready to introduce the Messiah through Saul. Starting his kingship. And then it gets to David, didn't it? Listen, I know a lot of times if you're running, if your parent feels like you're running a taxi service, if your kids are in any kind of sports, it's ridiculous. This mundane stuff, we get lost in it, and sometimes we get discouraged by it. We're like, God, what are you even doing? But we're part of something so much bigger. I think the easiest way for us to talk about God's providence in your life by looking at this little puzzle piece. If I handed this to you, I guarantee you, you can't tell what it is. It's blue, and lying's really bad. A little green, I think. This is what a lot of your life looks like right now. It doesn't make sense. It's very ordinary. There's nothing spectacular happening with this puzzle piece. And we get so frustrated by this stupid little puzzle piece I can't even hold on to. Thank you, Pastor Zach. Because you're like, God, I want the kingship. But right now you're looking for donkeys. What God's providence look like if we trust his plan, if we trust his will, he shows us his words. We end up being a part of a bigger picture. And you can't tell this morning, but that's a puzzle that Miss Betty put together for us. She loved puzzles. She was great at it. This is what a lot of life looks like. A lot of life looks like the gray piece there, or the orange piece, or the cloud, or what have you. It looks like that. I got it. Oh, no, I'm freaking my wife out. I'm sorry. Can't help it. But look, if you look at this little piece right here, that's as mundane as it gets. It barely has any color on that piece. That's where a lot of life is. An enemy wants to wear you down and say your life is meaningless. Like, what are you doing? This doesn't even count. All the errands you're doing, running kids around, job you're doing, some days it's fulfilling, some days it's not, and those days it's not, the enemy's like, that's your color list right there. You're not accomplishing anything. Some of you, you're in your mundane life and you're not in a relationship. And that's something the world values. Is that something you're like, it's meaningless right? Today, God wants you to learn about his providence, that his will for your life makes a beautiful picture. There's going to be some days you feel like this colorless piece right here. But those days in frustration, you feel like you're chasing donkeys, what we got to do is we got to remind ourselves, God is at work in my life. You're changing that diaper. Praise the Lord. God is at work in your life. Listen, there was a season my wife and I made a decision. She's going to be able to stay home with the kids until they go to school. We thought that was valuable to us. So she did that. Can I tell you, there's a lot of days for her, it probably felt like this. Because she was changing diapers, running kids around. when all the people her age have careers, successful. We get frustrated chasing donkeys. I want to tell you, though, God has a plan. God's plan is bigger than your plan. So in those Monday times of chasing donkeys, let's just pump the brakes a little bit and say, God, what are you doing? God, remind me today when I feel frustrated, I'm chasing donkeys, that your plan is this. My plan is this. Let me trust in you. Would you stand with us this morning? Saul left home that day. I guarantee it was hot. I guarantee he's frustrated. He's a little angry at his dad. Like, why am I doing this? We got servants for this kind of thing. He goes out on a mission to find a donkey. That was his whole goal. That is his whole focus. Today I'm doing... God's like, I got a plan for you. Wasn't looking for it. He wasn't expecting it. That day he stepped into a kingship. I think some of you guys walked in this morning frustrated with life. Frustrated what you're doing. But I'm here to tell you this morning, God is at work in your life. Do not forget that. Do not let the enemy take your eyes off that and put it on the values of the world. Oh, you're not here by now? Oh, you're a failure. You don't have this by now? You're a failure. No, no, no. God's at work in your life. God has a master plan, and if we stick to it, he's going to make something beautiful out of that ordinary puzzle piece of your life. This morning, I know it's Father's Day. I know we got things to do, but I just really feel like there's some of you who have been struggling with this. The enemy wants to devalue your life. And maybe there's some in here this morning you feel in that. And you're frustrated by chasing donkeys. You're just tired. We're going to open up these altars. There'll be people to pray with you, I promise you. But I do believe the Lord wants to meet with you today and let you remind you that he's got a big plan for your life. Yeah, today looks mundane. Today looks frustrating, but he's got a big plan. It's only one piece of your puzzle. He's got a call in your life to make a beautiful picture. This morning, worship team is going to start singing for you. So if you feel that, won't you come down? Make an altar. Let's pray for you. Be refreshed in spirit today. Let him encourage you. Let him encourage you. He's got a master plan. That ordinary puzzle piece is going to turn into something beautiful in your life. You can't see it. You can't think of it because our thinking is not his thinking. He's going to do something incredible in your life. Let's pray with us this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord God, if we walk in here frustrated, we feel that our life is just ordinary, there's nothing special, that God's not moving anyway. God, would you remind us this morning, oh, you got a plan. You've not forgotten us, but you're working all things in our life out, Lord God, for your will. God, everything we're taking for granted, Lord, the frustration of the hurt foot, Lord God, we get frustrated, we get angry about it, Lord God, but you're working it out. You've got a plan. I can't see it, but today I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust that you're doing something mighty, that you're putting together a beautiful picture, Lord God. Today, Lord God, I pray if there's anyone in here this morning who's frustrated with the way that life's going, I pray they have courage to come down front this morning and they've let you encourage them. Let you encourage them that they are part of something bigger. They're frustrated by chasing donkeys. Lord, would you encourage them today? Would you come down front? You won't be alone, I promise you. There'll be people to pray with you. Would you come? Let God encourage you this morning. He has a master plan for your life. Even though it doesn't feel like you're doing exactly what God wants you to do. If you're in Christ, let him work in your life this morning. Would you come? Would you come? Don't let the enemy win. Don't let the enemy discourage you by the way life's going. God has a plan. Would you step into that this morning? Would I get some prayer warriors to come help us pray? Would I get some prayer warriors to come help us pray this morning? Would you join us this morning? Would you leave it at the altar this morning? Come be encouraged by the Lord this morning.
Thank you. you working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop.
Today, Lord God, those days it seems like we're chasing donkeys, Lord God. Oh Lord, we're following your plan, Lord God. You're making something beautiful out of our lives, Lord God. Those days, those weeks, we feel like we're just in the mundane, Lord God. Remind us, Lord God. Remind us you're working it all out. Remind us you're building something beautiful. Remind us, Lord God, we are impacting your kingdom. Today, that you're working in our lives, even when we can't see it, even when it doesn't make sense, even when it's frustrating, Lord God, you're working our lives. So we take courage in that. Precious glory name we pray. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you. Happy Father's Day.